So we're going to be looking at our text for today. Now, this is a Connect service. And the aim of this is that you just don't hear Anthony preach. It's that we all do it together. It's community learning, or learning community, however you choose to put it. I will do some talking, because I love to talk, but I would also want us to connect around our tables, around our chairs, and just delve into the text. Because oftentimes, the best way we learn is when we participate. Isn't it? That's one of the best ways we learn. People are like, yeah, it should be true, yeah. So, we've been looking at the Catalyst series, our core values as a church, since the beginning of this year. And we're right at the tail end now, and this is the second to the last value. Everybody matters. So since the beginning of September, we've been looking at, you know, the place of every single person in the body of Christ. Every single person is important. And today, we're also going to be looking at those who are not yet in the body. Jesus said something in John chapter 10. He said, there are sheep in the fold right now. He says, but there are also sheep who are not yet in the fold. They're as equally as important as those in the fold. Remember the parable of the shepherd who left 99 and went after one. Economically, that does not make sense. But in the kingdom, it makes perfect sense because the value of 99 is the value of one. So, slides up. Are we ready? Yeah, let's start with the first one. So yes, we're reaching another. So if we go to the next one, today our text is the woman at the well. The woman at the well. So let's do a bit of reading. So if we go to the next slide, please. Thank you. It didn't quite come out the way I did it, but okay. So let's read this. So this is John chapter 4. Now Jesus had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar. That's how it's pronounced, Sychar. Near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son, Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus was there. And Jesus, tired as he was, he's repeating it now. Jesus, okay, the reading hasn't come out the way I expected, but I'm just going to give you a snapshot. Sorry? There are Bibles there as well, yes. If you need to read, look at the Bibles. But Jesus went through Samaria, and he went to a town called Sychar. And at Sychar, Jesus was tired and hungry. So his disciples went ahead to get some food. However, Jesus stayed at the well. And this well was famously known as Jacob's Well. And this lady, this certain woman, a Samaritan woman, came to fetch water from the well at 12 noon. And Jesus said to her, can you give me some water to drink? So that's a paraphrase of what the reading is. Jesus said, can you give me some water to drink? Are we all still looking for it? So page 1066. Thank you, Lisa. Have we all found it? Page 1066. See, when technology doesn't really go the way you want, thank God for hard copy Bibles you can refer back to. Have we all found it? Okay. So, If you notice in the slide on the screen, the very first sentence I highlighted in red. Now, Jesus had to go through Samaria. Why is that important? Can we go to the next slide, please? So we're going to have like a horrible histories type of moment right now. You love horrible histories. Anybody know about horrible histories? Yeah? That's where they tell you the thing they're telling your history books. So why was that important? Now you can see a map on the screen. There's Judea, where you have Jerusalem as the capital. There's Samaria, and there's Galilee. So we know Jesus frequented Galilee quite a lot. So Samaria is kind of tucked in between Judea and Galilee. But the problem was the Jews hated the Samaritans. The Jews said the Samaritans were mixed breed. In other words, they were not pure Jews. So there was half of Jew and half of something else. So they treated them like lower class. Another fact was that the Jews, whenever they saw a Samaritan, would spit as a almost like disgust. So they saw a Samaritan and said, oh, and they'll spit. To show how derogatory, you know, their attitude was towards Samaritans. In fact, if a Jew wanted to go from Judea to Galilee, they would go across the river at Perea, up and then into Galilee. They will avoid Samaria completely because they felt they would get contaminated just by passing through it. To show you the level of hatred and disgust the Jews had for the Samaritans. But the Samaritans equally showed their hostility towards the Jews because the Samaritans did not accept the Old Testament. They only believed in the first five books of the Old Testament. And everything else they said, nah, we don't believe it. Sorry? The Torah. The Torah. They only believed in the Torah, the first five books, and rejected everything else. So there was hostility between the Jews and the Samaritans. Now, Jesus was going through, as a Jewish man, through Samaria. So something is brewing up already. He's in a hostile context. But he had to go through Samaria. Now, next slide, please. Does anybody know who that is? Oh, fantastic. Well done. Elizabeth Taylor. Now, the woman at the well was not Elizabeth Taylor. But Elizabeth Taylor's life kind of mirrors this woman we're going to be looking at. What's that one fact about Elizabeth Taylor that we know? She had lots of husbands. She had seven husbands. In fact, she married one twice, Richard Burton, who was also an actor. But she was a famous actress, you know, famous for her role in Cleopatra and all the movies. But she was also known for having seven husbands in her lifetime. Now, this woman that we're looking at had five. And the one she was living with was not even her husband. What else do we know about this woman? She liked to go to the well at odd times. You see, girls usually hang out at the well. But they go in the evening when they can really have a chatter, you know, they can tweet and all that. But she went at 12. When nobody will be there. What was she hiding from? Why did she prefer to go at an odd time? Sorry? Because of people know her for who she was. So she avoided people and went at odd times. She was another lass from Samaria. You see the names, I said she was from a town called Sychar. Sychar means two things, wage or to hire and drunk. In other words, It was a cycle of earn and spend, immediate gratification. We get money today, we go and we blast it all, and we get drunk. It was that cycle. So it was a place notorious or known for immediate gratification. Could this be the reason why she's had five husbands? But she seemed to have some religious upbringing as well. Because later on, when we look at the rest of the text, you will see her conversation with Jesus. But I believe there's a song that really captures her life story. And we're going to listen to the song in a minute. I want you to pay attention to the words, and I'll ask you what stood out in the lyrics to you. Let's hear the song.
I am rejected by others.
Come on, hold my hand. I wanna contact the living. Not sure I understand this role I've been given. I sit and talk to God, and He just laughs at my plan. My head speaks a language I don't understand. I just wanna feel real love, feel the home that I live in. 'Cause I got too much life running through my veins, going to waste. That's why I keep on running before I've arrived. I can see myself coming. I just wanna feel real love, feel the home that I live in. 'Cause I got too much life running through my veins, going to waste. And I need to feel real love and love ever after. I cannot get
a shock song to the system. You're like, what's he doing with Robbie Williams in church? But did you pay attention to the lyrics? What stood out for you? What stood out for you? Anyone? Anybody else? Probably I should pass the service so people can hear. Anybody else? Sorry? There's a lot of pain in that song. He says, look, there's so much life in me, but yet it's going to waste. I want to feel real love. There's a big hole in my soul. He needed healing, yes. He needed healing. And probably that was why she was trying to find it in those relationships. She was looking for real love. Is there anything else that stood up or struck or resonated with you from that song? Looking for help. Looking for help. He said, I sit and talk to God. And he just laughs at my plans. Anyway, let's look at the next clip. No, not that one. The video. Thank you.
Heart and mind, that is the kind of worshiper he's looking for. It won't matter where you're from or what you've done. Do you believe what I'm telling you?
Until the Messiah comes and explains everything and sorts this mess out, including me. I don't trust in anyone.
You're wrong when you say that you've never received anything from God. This Messiah you speak of, I am he. The first one was named Ramin. You were a woman of purity. Was excited to be married, but he wasn't a good man. He hurt you, and it made you question marriage and even the practice of your faith.
Stop it.
The second was Farzad. On your wedding night, his skin smelled like oranges, and to this day, every time you pass by the oranges in the market, you feel guilty for leaving him, because he was the only truly godly man you've been with, but you felt unworthy.
Why are you doing this?
I have not revealed myself to the public as the Messiah. You are the first. It would be good if you believed me.
You picked the wrong person.
I came to Samaria just to meet you. Do you think it's an accident that I'm here in the middle of the day?
I am rejected by others.
I know. But not by the Messiah.
And you know these things because you are the Christ. I'm going to tell everyone.
I was counting on it.
Spirit and truth.
Spirit and truth.
It won't be all about mountains or temples.
Soon, just the heart.
You promise?
I promise.
This man told me everything I've done. Oh, he must be the Christ!
Hey, wait!
You're wanted!
You forgot your
Clancy, oh man, you told me everything I ever did!
Rabbi, we got food. What would you like?
I have food to eat that you do not know about.
Who got you food?
Now, I have a series of questions I want us to look at on our tables. Just for 5-7 minutes, and then I'll ask for a quick feedback. So the first question, why did Jesus have to go through Samaria? In quote. I put that in quote deliberately. So why did Jesus have to go through Samaria? Now that we've seen, you know, and heard of all the extra bits. Yeah. Okay. So for Jesus, that was the quickest route. Go straight through, right? Than going round in circles, yeah? Yeah. He wasn't bothered, yes, yes, he wasn't bothered. Anybody else? So there was something about, could this be like a God incident? Something already prearranged in the plan of God for that to happen, yes? Yeah. So Samaria equally had to hear the word of God, so Jesus had to go through. Any from the back? Any contribution? Yeah. 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 So God knew the sheep will come to the well and send the shepherd to meet with her there. I do, yes. Forgiveness, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So she needed forgiveness and God met her there for herself. Thank you. Thank you. No, it's good. It's good. Bob, do you want to say something? Yes. Yes. Yeah. The woman. Thank you, Bob. Thank you. Thank you. Contribution? Also, everybody said what you wanted to say? Pretty much. Okay. So, yes. I think it's a bit of everything we've said. But I just like the phrase, had to go through. Because the Jews avoided Samaria. But for Jesus, if it meant a divine appointment, if it means going to Lidl when I don't feel like going, I know somebody who did. If it means being in an awkward place, because you just feel God wants you to be there. You're tired, you've had a stressful day, and somebody sits beside you on the bus wanting to chat, and you think, oh Lord, I just want some peace and quiet. But you had to be on the bus for that person. It's recognizing divine appointments. So what was awkward about Jesus meeting this woman? What were the issues around that? He was a Jew, she was a Samaritan. Horrible history. He was a man, she was a woman. Cultural issues. Yes. Anything else? He had a reputation as well, yes. And he was the rabbi. It don't mix. Yes. She went at noon, so she was avoiding people, and there was somebody there. You know, she thought she was just going to draw her water in peace and quiet, and somebody was right there. So it was an awkward situation. And for many times, meeting other people who are not yet will be awkward. It will never be like a sweet, oh. It will always be awkward. But then we need to be able to, you know, Geraldine said something earlier on. She said, I always check myself. So I'm not prejudging. If I'm going to meet people where they're at, I don't prejudge. Or I check the way I judge. Because we all judge in one way or the other. So it's recognizing that it will always be awkward. But what do I do in that situation? So how did Jesus begin to engage with this woman? What was the hook? What really turned it? Because she was arguing initially, isn't it? It was like, and then I was like, So what was the hook? Well, how did he begin to engage with her? Yes. He asked her for a drink. So sometimes it might just be the context you're in, you know? Well, water, thirsty, she had drink. Start from your context. We want to get to the end of it. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Yes, but it starts with asking for a drink. It starts with at mumps and tots just saying, oh, hello. Before we get to the end product. Fantastic. Yes. Yeah. That's a very, very valid point. Did we all hear that? She said Jesus demonstrated a need. Oftentimes we go with the solution. You are broken and we're here to fix you. But Jesus said, look, I need water. I'm thirsty. I'm tired. And she was in the power position, but she had the jar. And in that tipped the power dynamic, isn't it? And oftentimes that's what God does. God comes to us as meek. He's all powerful, yet he lets you throw a tantrum and says, all right, okay, what do you want? So Jesus reversed it. The world would say, you are needy, I'm here to help you. Jesus said, I'm needy. You have what I need to help me. And that shifted the paradigm. It shifted the balance, rather, sorry. That's a very valid point. In reaching those who are not yet, we can be transparent before them. Because we don't have to show them that, yeah, I'm all together. The one who holds us all together is the one we want them to see. Very quickly, what was she really looking for? Sorry? Looking for worth. She was looking for worth. And she tried relationships, thinking she would find her worth in those relationships. What else was she really looking for? What was she really, really looking for? So Sorry? For love, acceptance. She just wanted to be accepted for who she was. And who is the one who always accepts us for who we are? God. He says, come as you are. And then when you come to him, you're transformed. Because then you see yourself as you really are. All right, very quickly, I can hear the children coming up. So how did Jesus really connect with her? From water, what transpired? So he told her about her past, which he could not have known, because she knew he was Jewish. Anything else? Listen. He listened, yeah. You see? What she was really looking for, Jesus said, was living water. She was looking for something that would quench her thirst for worth and acceptance. And Jesus said, oh, you'll show me in a minute. Just a minute. I'm almost done. And I'll pass the mic to you. Is that okay? Good. So, when we want to reach out to those who are not yet, we have to listen. We have to be plain and honest before them. We have to recognize the context in which we are engaging with them. And then the hook, when we see that they are beginning to listen to us, we start by listening. And then when they start to listen to us, then we can begin to invite them into the relationship we have with God. I hope that's been helpful this morning.